And continuing looking on Sunday evenings with our priority list, our priorities in this life. And again, I thank you for sticking with me in this series on Sunday evenings and being faithful to it. Luke chapter 10, in our priority list, we see, again, as we looked at the last several weeks, Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3 both give the list in order of our priorities. The Bible makes it so easy for us, doesn't he? I love that. Now, Luke chapter 10, if you will, let's go all the way down to verse 38. In verse 38 says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village. A certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Notice, but Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost not thou care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore to help me.' She helped me. Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" You know this portion of Scripture, I'm sure, very well. But a great reminder of us. Martha was not doing anything wrong. Mary was not doing anything wrong. But we're going to see tonight that priorities can get easily messed up. Now, both of them loved the Lord. We know that, absolutely. In fact, we know later on that they are there with Christ through the whole process, primarily, pretty much, of the whole process of the crucifixion and everything else. They're supporting. The Lord loved them. He loved their brother Lazarus. If you remember the story, I know you do, but those of you watching online tonight, you remember that story as well of how he came to that town and they said, "Lord, don't go. He's been dead 3 days and by this time he stinks. The process of, you know what, has already started." And he said, "Well, stand back. I'm going to do my work," you know. And all that happened and he rose from the dead and the miraculous work. Now we see here, their devotion to the Lord is without question, okay? There's no question about that. But these two women, we know, sisters of the same house with the same background are different situations. How many in here have a sister? You have a sister? Okay, most of you. You have a sister. You know how that goes. Or a sibling, and that matter of fact, anybody, any type of sibling, I guess. With the same background, notice they have different situations. One sitting composed and calm. The other is commended by the Lord. The other is corrected. One's busy about serving, we see, but she's corrected by the Lord. Now, what made the difference? We see here no command for Mary to sit, nor for Martha to be observing. There's no command. The difference is a matter of priorities. Their priorities determine the position Christ had in their lives. Now, think about that. Christ had in their lives. Now, again, nothing sinful on either part. But we see here, Mary sat at Jesus' feet, heard his word. Martha received him into her house and served. Mary saw what was the most important in the matter of time's priority in sitting before him. Where Martha had the same opportunity to make, but made, as we see, the wrong choice. Martha was under pressure. Mary was not. Just some things to point out here. Now we see that we can fall into this. Now again, coming back to somewhat of a spiritual gift as well that we all have, different spiritual gifts. They call leading spiritual gifts, those ones you kind of per se are more prominent in your life. Martha was more of the servants. We need more servants. We know that. Mary's one of more devotion. And we see here, though, the great problem. She was busy for the Lord, but she was cumbered about much serving. Notice that. The word cumbered means to be torn in all directions or distracted. Her problem was not pressure. Her problem was her priorities. And someone has said, your greatest danger is in letting urgent things crowd out the important things. Urgent things. It's got to be done now. It has to be done now. We see that. Now, as we look at this story this evening, we're going to look at how Jesus explains it to us in our priorities, some emphasis. And seeing how that, although Martha was one that was serving, and we commend her for that, she was very good for doing that and all of those things, she also missed the point that Jesus said, I want you to come and sit at my feet and listen. And he says in verse 42, one thing is needful. Now we think about here. what we see or believe to be important is often sometimes not scriptural and does not meet the word nor the commands of the Lord. So how do we fix those priorities? What do we do? If we're to be successful in our daily lives so that God can truly use us, we must get our priorities right. We often get them out of order. I know I do. Now, if you will, let's go back. We're going to go to Matthew chapter number 5 here briefly. And Matthew 5. And I want you to notice with me some things that the Lord points out by way of our priorities. Now, we've already been through our priority list. We already know that it's our relationship with the Lord. It's our spouse, secondly. It's our children, third. It's our job, if you will, or ministry, and so on and so forth after that. Matthew 5. And we're going to see here, the Lord names or gives five areas of priority for the believer. Now notice verse 21, first of all. Matthew 5:21. You've heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill, whatsoever that kills shall be in danger of the judgment. I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift alone. Where am I here? Sorry, something happened on my phone here. I got sidetracked. Okay, so anyways, we're going to see it. First of all, be reconciled first, then worship. Now, there's priority one. As we deal with these things, personally, I'm talking about. Be reconciled first, then worship. By way of that, we often will come and worship before we're reconciled. We are not to offer gifts to God when we're refusing to right a wrong done to a brother or sister. We know if we're out of fellowship with somebody, you are out of fellowship with God. If you are out of fellowship with a brother or sister in Christ, we must be reconciled before we worship. And that's exactly what he says. If thou bring thy gift to the altar, there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave it there and go thy way first, right? Go thy way first. Leave it there. Don't come to me, Lord says, with all of that in you. Don't bring that to me. I'm talking about tonight our priorities, and although we know the list of priorities we have, here's some five areas, again, that the Lord spoke of for us as individuals in our personal walk. Now notice that. Okay, now let's continue. Secondly, we're to seek the kingdom of God over material things. Jump over to chapter 6, verse 33. Chapter 6, verse 33. What's he say? We know very well. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We must understand that we must seek the kingdom of God first over material things. Now again, as we start our week out right here this evening in church on a Sunday, the first day of the week, what are we doing? In essence, we're saying to the Lord, Lord, I'm tired. Lord, I don't want to really get up and go to church. Lord, I've got 1,000 other things I need to do. But I'm going to prioritize church. The dog can wait. The list can wait. These other things can wait. We know that. Why? Because we're seeking first the kingdom of God. We know to do this, we must choose the right master. Well, he says in verse 24 of chapter 6, what's he say? No man can serve two masters. Why? Why can't we fence straddle? Why can't we just wishy-washy? We can handle it. No, for either he will what? Hate the one, love the other, hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Again, mammon is that picture or depiction of materialism or money or whatever you want to call it, right? So again, coming back to you, what's your priorities? Well, first we must be reconciled before we worship. There's a failure in a lot of people's hearts and lives. We must also seek God first over material things. We must seek him first in everything. Everything we do, everything we accumulate that comes into our bank account. I emphasize this and I'll just say it again. Anything that comes into your bank account, you ought to sit down and say, okay, 10% of that is the Lord's. It's biblical, right? It's just, that's Christianity 101. first day of class, you know. Anything. Now people say, what about my tax returns and stuff? I've already paid in on that. That's fine. That's between you and the Lord. That enters more into an offering, if you want to call it that, because you come to the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to give? Is there something I can do and give? It's a sad day when a church, again, struggles to make ends meet. Now, sometimes the people can't, they're giving all they can, but I'm saying most churches, they struggle because the people don't give properly. They have a good heart, a sweet heart, but they don't give properly, the biblical way. Now, thank God for you here tonight. Thank God for your sacrificial giving. But coming back to this, seeking the kingdom first over materialism is a priority for every believer. Okay? Okay, thirdly, let's look at another one. I'm glad you asked. Let's go to chapter 7 of Matthew. We're just trucking our way down here through what's called the Great Sermon on the Mount. Chapter 7. Now notice he says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that's in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So thirdly then, we must correct ourselves before trying to correct others. Well, that's just another priority for us, right? Correcting ourselves before correcting others. And this is something that's brought out to me personally every day with my kids. Because what do they say? I tell them to do something, they go, well, Daddy, you don't do that. I go, hey, hush up. It's not about that. Do as I say, not as I do, right? Well, you don't do, hey. The Lord uses those kids in such wonderful ways sometimes. But he says what? Correct yourself first. By the way, just a reminder, people say this all the time. You're not to judge me, only God can judge me. And that's absolutely true. We know that. There's a big famous saying that came out about 20 years ago or so in the music industry. Only God can judge me. It was a song or something. I don't know what it was. Only God can judge me. And they're exactly right. Only God can judge you. The problem is you don't want God's judgment. These people, these Hollywood, rap industry, hip-hop stuff, you don't want God to judge you in the state you are in, sir. What's he talking about here? Again, he's talking about motives. We're not to judge somebody's motives. Somebody comes in, James says, somebody comes in with a dirty old apparel, he's a hillbilly bum, we don't shun him. Oh, no, you sit in the back. We don't do that. But we're not to judge their motives. Well, I bet they're giving only because they, you know, I bet they only come to church because they want people to see how holy they are. No, that's the wrong judgment. And what we see here is we correct ourselves before we correct the others. Now, again, Galatians 6 and verse 1, you don't have to turn there. But again, he says, and we've read this a while back, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, there it is, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, what does he do? Deceives himself. Deceives himself. You don't deceive anyone else. The Old Testament prophet says, pride in thine heart hath deceived you. Isn't that funny? People see right through you. And you, if you're like me, just walk around, yeah. They must think a lot about me. And they're going, no, we don't. We see right through it. See that. Now, this verse in Galatians has been used many times throughout Christianity. A man has committed a horrific crime or a sin, and they've said, oh, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. No, and they sweep it under the rug, which is wrong. The Bible never teaches that. We call sin, sin, and if it's something illegal or against the law or something, we call it out. We have to do that. He's talking about that of a spiritual matter. He's overtaken in a fault. He's messed up. He's sinned or she has sinned. We all do it. We restore them. Again, correcting ourselves before trying to correct. But notice how the Lord puts it and the wordage he uses. What's he say? Consider the mote that's in thine eye or the beam that's in thine eye before you point out the splinter in your brother's eye. Consider what is going on. Let me pull out that splinter out of thine eye, and yet I can't even see because a pole is in mine eye, right? He says, thou hypocrite, thou hypocrite. Again, Jesus had no hesitation in calling people what they were. And he had every right to, by the way. First, cast out the beam. Correct yourself before correcting others. Correct your own heart before you correct others, right? Understandable in this. We learned this in Sunday school as kids. Thou shalt see clearly, clearly. So often we judge because we can't see in a blurry state of mind. We try to correct other people. We ourselves are not doing it. Now, correcting ourselves, okay, let's look at number four then. We got to take care of the heart first, and the outside will be right. The heart first. The heart first. Now, let me see. I have a few verses, but let's go over to chapter 23, I believe it is. I have chapter 23 down here. Let me make sure I have the right one. Okay, yeah, chapter 23 of Matthew, if you don't mind. Verse 24. Chapter 23 and verse 24. Notice what he says here. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter. Within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones, full of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets, garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Ye killed the prophets. Notice what he says. First of all, take care of the heart first. The outside will be right. So many in Jesus' day were concerned with what? The outward appearance. The outward appearance. We today must be careful of that, obviously. We know that. And looking at a while back through the book of 1 Timothy, talking about the apparel of both men and women. But a lot of churches today emphasize and push that. By the way, the churches today that say, oh, you churches like you are so conservative and you make all the ladies wear dresses and all the men wear suits and all this, that's not true, right? That's not true. Those same churches require, they don't say it publicly, but they require them to dress a certain way, don't they? You show up to a church, you ever gone to these churches? Everyone there is wearing a certain style of jeans, certain style of shirt, whatever it is. Same thing. I'm saying that we so often falsely judge people and we look at the outside. Oh, how many times we've been accused? Well, you're judging on looks instead of the heart. I've shared the gospel with several people. A couple of people right off the top of my head I can remember. The first thing they said when I asked them about the gospel, I said, do you know where you're going to go when you die? They say, only God can judge me. I said, absolutely. And they say, you don't know if I'm saved. You can't see my heart. I say, absolutely. I know that. And I tried to share the gospel with them and made sure they're saved. And that's what they exactly, the first thing they run to is you can't, you're judging me on the outside. I say, no, I'm not. But the Bible does go further and say that we can see and tell if someone's saved by their fruits that they're producing, right? The fruit that's coming in and going out and what they're producing in their lives. Jesus says even further in John 14 and 15 primarily about that, ye are the vine, you're the branches, I'm the vine. And he will what? Prune? He'll do all that he needs to do in regards to that. But coming back to taking care of the heart, the outside will be right. Proverbs 4 verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence. What? For out of it are the issues of life. When the heart is clean, God can use us. 2 Timothy 2:21 says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he'll be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Again, this evening, our priorities. Do we have our priorities set? These are some areas that Jesus points out for us personally that we need to take care of ourselves. And then can I say here, fifthly, do not put family first over the Lord. Do not put family first. Now, we read a little bit of this last week, But in Luke 14, verse 26, if any man will come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So we know family is important. We've already looked at that. But we must be careful. We must understand we must provide for our own, as he says in 1 Timothy. The heart is given to Christ. We readily resolve conflicts so we can worship him. We seek his kingdom and righteousness and are not worried about how we're going to make a living. We have his wisdom in dealing with the delicate matters of other people's faults. And we, of course, put him first over everyone and everything, right? So seeing this. Now, lastly here, let me just reiterate our priority list and then we'll be done, okay? We'll be done with this priority series here, these messages. Okay, one, the Lord must have first place. Ephesians 5. You allow the Holy Spirit to control you, right? That's what he says. The Lord has control. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but what? Be filled with the Spirit. Literally, and I be very careful I say it, but be intoxicated with the Spirit. I mean, where he has control over you. We fill our mind with spiritual things. You give thanks to God for everything. The mind comes back to that. We studied this already, but anyways, we struggle with thoughts and feelings and emotions by way of what we bring in through the eye gate, the ear gate, what we listen to, what we watch, what we adhere to, all of that, right? That's what affects our minds, affects our hearts. That's why you can see it in people, the rotten attitude and the disdain for others because of what they're involved with. Oh, how the word softens our hearts and brings us back to where we should be. We submit ourselves to him, okay? Next, our marriage relationship. The wife submits to her husband as unto the Lord. He goes further and says, as it is fit in the Lord. Colossians chapter 3. The husband then in turn loves his wife as Christ loves the church. Now again, some people don't, they're not married to a saved person. That's difficult. Others are separated. We have many people in our church that are separated or divorced or something, right? So how does that apply to them? Well, they live their lives as unto the Lord, right? They're dedicated to Christ. That's who they're looking for and serving. But we that are married, again, to a saved individual, this is the order for us. The Lord Jesus, then, is the only one who has priority over our spouse. The only one. The only one. There's no one else that has priority over our spouse in regards to that. Third, then, is that parent-child relationship that we saw. That the children must obey their parents. Must. They must obey. Now, they are disrespectful and disobedient. We know that. And they often will do those things that they're not supposed to do, as we do as adults as well. But they must obey their parents. While they're in the home, obviously, children must honor parents at all times. At all times. And parents must lovingly train their children, as we've been seen, as we've been shown. Parents must then give children their proper place and keep them in their proper place. Just trusting that. That's the third aspect of it. Next is the job relationship, the proper attitude toward our supervisors, we saw. And we must submit them to them as unto Christ. You must not stoop to being a man pleaser, as he says there in chapter 6 of Ephesians. You can expect God's reward now and in the future, he says. And then we have a proper attitude toward our subordinates, those below us. We are to seek their welfare. We are not to threaten them. And we must submit to the Lord. We must pray for them and encourage them and help them. And then finally, as we saw, our ministry and our spiritual warfare that we endure. These things we talked about today or this evening are very easy to talk about, but very hard to do. I know that. As we seek first the kingdom of God and seek first to reconcile before we worship and seek his proper place first, easy to say. Oh, we think about, though, all that comes our way each week and every day. Our ministry. It's spiritual warfare. It requires proper armor and prayer, and it is our overall witness for Christ. It is effective and fruitful when our priorities are in order. Again, we all have a ministry. We all have something we have to do here. We know that. Not just Brother Tim or someone else. We all have a ministry. And when all the priorities are in proper place, our ministry is effective. It's effective. I think often why the ministry for me is not very effective, why maybe I'm not reaching or doing what I should be, maybe my priorities are off. They're not in the proper place. And often that is, my place with the Lord is not correct. It affects my marriage. My wife sees me as a hypocrite. And when the marriage is not where it should be, the kids then rebel and they become rebellious because they see mom and dad as hypocrites. They're fancy at church, but at home they're not. And then consequently it folds over, it rolls over into my job relationship where I become an ineffective witness for Christ and nobody knows I'm a believer and nobody knows who I am. And ultimately then I have a failed ministry. I'm no longer what I'm supposed to be for Christ. Doesn't that make sense? And I think about that. We have the proper priorities in place. We can be true tools that God will use and wants to use for us, right? All right, so we see that. Now coming back, and I'll close with this, with a story that we started out with, Martha and Mary. These two individuals love the Lord, oh, we could say almost unconditionally. They truly love the Lord. They were one of the first ones to acknowledge Him of who He was, right? I mean, they weren't there denying Christ like Peter and others did right at the end, right? They all forsook Him and fled. These women were there. They stayed with Him. But we see there's somewhat of a misappropriation of priorities, if you could say. One was serving, which was fine and good, but she allowed that to get in the way of her worship of the Lord. Her worship. Martha was under pressure. Martha was cumbered about. And by the way, when we get cumbered about and stressed out and all those things, we come back to the Lord. So many people today, that's why they run to what's called the pressure release valves of life. They get filled up with pressure and anxiety. What do? They got to go do something to release the pressure. Psh, you know, that valve, they got to let out the pressure like on your crock pot or your pressure cooker, whatever that thing's called. They do it. What do they run to pornography. They run to alcohol. They run to illicit relationship at work. They run to drugs and popping pills and everything else. What do? We run right to the book. I hope you do. Run to the book. Run to the book. Run right back to the Lord where you started. And we are not told a lot of what comes back and after in the life of Martha and Mary particularly. We're not given a lot of that. We have somewhat in church history of what happened, but we don't have a lot biblically. But these women undoubtedly, I have complete confidence, they served Christ until the very end, don't you? I mean, they were probably martyred for Christ. They stood their ground. And Mary said, I sat at His feet and I listened. And Martha said, yeah, me too. I served. I listened too. I was there too. But you think about it. As we see tonight, I'll close with this. Thank you for sticking with me. The priorities we have are so important in our lives. We know godly people that got, I won't use the word, messed up with their priorities. And today, they're nowhere to be found. I don't mean to be harsh because I know people have other things they're doing right now. And I know some aren't feeling well and other things and such, but a lot of people misprioritize the house of God. It's to their detriment. And we do all we can to keep the lights on and the AC running and we'll unlock the door and we have service times 3 times a week. We try to do all we can to facilitate them so they can obey the Word of God. That's what we're doing. We're trying to facilitate that and do our part. But they misprioritize things. And I understand they have other things they're doing, especially those not feeling well tonight. I'm not speaking of them, but they're missing out. And it's to their detriment. Those of us that know the Lord, we're seeking to prioritize Him. Lord, number one, help me to do my part. Help me to be where I'm supposed to be and to be the mother you're supposed to be. Not lazy. You're not lazy in the home, but lazy in teaching the kids the things of God. Apathetic in telling and teaching them how to be a young lady, how to be a young man, to be the right father, not so lazy and apathetic in helping the kids, etc., etc. You understand. And being the right wife. You don't know what he says and how he is. Okay, but as unto the Lord. Do it as unto, love the wife as we're supposed to. And so on and so forth and all of that. You know, and we see it. Okay, I'll stop there. And so the priorities we have, I hope that's a help to you. We get a glimpse into the life. And by the way, Jesus had such a, if you read the Bible enough, you find Jesus had a real sweet personality. He really did. I would have loved to have been his friend. And praise God, we are his friend, as he says. But he had a sweet personality. He was funny. He laughed at stuff. He made jokes at stuff. He was a funny, down-to-earth guy. And yet he was the very Son of God, wasn't he? And you can imagine the story. He chuckled, "Martha, Martha, you're cumbered about many things." How many times did he say that to me? "Oh, Tim, you're so sidetracked with the wrong things." "Yeah, but Lord, you don't know what they said. I'm just so frustrated. I'm just going to quit." "Oh, Tim, you're so cumbered about the foolish thing," right? Isn't that us? Relax a little bit. Take a little baby aspirin, a chill pill, and you'll be back next Sunday, okay? You'll be fine. Just keep on going. The priorities that we have. The Lord is for us, and he's with us, and he wants to see you succeed. Never forget that. Everything he does is for us to be successful as a Christian. Never to trip us up. Never to get us to fall flat on our face. Never. Everything he does is for our good and ultimately his glory. Okay, I'll stop there. And again, Lord, thank you for this evening. I thank you for those that may be tuning in tonight online. I thank you for especially those that have made a special trek over here to church to be with us. And I know that you'll bless them because of that. Help us to prioritize. A lot what I said tonight, boy, it just was right up my alley. And I thank you for that. I pray you'd help us to chew on this week, really meditate upon it. As we think about it, these people in the Bible were just like us, and that's so comforting. There was nothing really special about them in any kind of unique way. They were just people, and they were in a certain time in history, a very special time. They got to be with you on this earth, and one day, Lord, we'll get to be with you very soon, I believe. Help us to keep going. Give us your strength, Lord, in this wicked world this week. Strengthen the mothers here, I pray. Strengthen the wives here. Strengthen the husbands and fathers and grandfathers. Strengthen those that have employees under them, Lord. Strengthen these here tonight that have somebody that's over them at work. Although these people are probably ungodly that they have to work for, give them the strength, Lord. And I thank you so much. Be with our children, Lord. I pray for them. I know most of them are still growing in their maturity. They're not quite in a certain age yet, but Lord, help them, God. I pray for that as we facilitate for them to be in your perfect will as of now. And Lord, we pray for that as well. Help us to do our part this week in reaching souls for Christ. Give us your wisdom in that, your discernment. And that, Lord, if it be thy will, you'd bring us back here tomorrow for our institute and then Wednesday for our service, Lord. And we look forward to it. We love you again and thank you in Jesus' name. And amen.